American Golf. My goodness, Caddy, for your show. Thank you for joining. We have moved to a big, huge streaming footprint. 1.5 million people go to golfnewsnet.com every month. And I've been working with Ryan Ballingy, and we are partnering to move Great American Golf radio show and the golf lifestyle show to Golf News Net. Forgive me, my voice is a little weak, but I feel great because this show is coming to you from Mexico, Rocky Point, Mexico, here about 4.5 hours south of Phoenix, Arizona, and we are having a ball down here. Yes, I'm working with the government, I'm working with the Mayan Palace and the Jack Nicklaus Golf Course. We have had beautiful weather, a lot of wind. Everything, though, is gorgeous. Safe travels, safe trip, beautiful corridor from Phoenix down to Rocky Point, Mexico. And it's so beautiful. I'm actually doing the show while watching the Sea of Cortez right over to my left out of the apartment I'm in. It's heaven, it's paradise, and you have to come on down. I'll let you know a lot more as we go forward. Now, talking about that, as I said, we're now streaming live all over the United States from the Golf News Net. And with that, it means that not only, as I said, we're on a bigger footprint, but it means that we have options to do so many different things. And when we do that, I'm going to give you more and more and more information. Watch Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, because you're going to see more of that coming on at Match Play TV. For today's show, of course, it's the big Masters right in the middle of all the action. A lot of color stories, a lot of golf stories, and of course, the leaderboard. I'm going to get to that in just a moment with Dr. Bob Denny. He's the PGA of America's historian emeritus, and he and I are going to talk all about it for the next full hour. And I've got some great sponsors for you. Without the sponsors, we can't do it. And before we do any of that, I want to mention to you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show coming up in a couple days right here on Golf News Net, we're going to be featuring one of the Epson Tour players. She will join us as we continue our coverage and our promotions of the upcoming big Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic. This is a massive golf tournament during the Epson Tour this year. This golf tournament is at the TPC Champions Course in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it's May the 5th through the 11th. You're going to hear a lot more coming. You can go there to get your tickets at CarlislePGA.com. CarlisleLPGA.com. CarlisleLPGA.com. May the 5th through the 11th, this Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic features all the young ladies that are on the Epson Tour looking to move themselves through that developmental tour up until they get to the LPGA Tour. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was at the Ford Championship at Wild Horse Pass in Chandler, Arizona, and it's unbelievable the number of players that I interviewed at that Ford Championship that had come to the LPGA Tour through the Epson Tour. Lilia Vu and so many others. Madeline Sagstrom, I interviewed her. Actually, you can see her interview on my social media site, Match Play TV, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And she came up through the Epson Tour. And when you get through the Epson Tour and you go to the LPGA Tour, you're able to, well, you've arrived. So lots going on as they move from the Epson Tour to the LPGA Tour. And this is the Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic coming up May the 5th through the 11th at the Champions Course at the TPC Scottsdale. We'll have more about that. And I have a wonderful guest coming up. By the way, the co-chairs are Paige McKenzie from the Golf Channel and Linda Volstead, the many-time national champion. She's a Hall of Famer from Arizona State University Women's Golf. Linda Volstead and Paige McKenzie, the honorary tournament co-chairs. Videos are out. You're going to see more of my television show, and you're going to hear a lot more on this radio show. So all of that is happening, coming up, the Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic. All right, we're turning right now to the Masters, and we're moving over to, well, Dr. Bob Denny. Dr. Bob, tell me something big about what's happening down in your way when we're looking at a Masters golf tournament.
Well, Ray, this major championship is starting off with some amazing stories. It's got some of the obviously the greatest players available in the world right now competing. And at the top of the leaderboard, a man that has deserved to earn a major for many years, past what he did in 2013 at Marion, that's Justin Rose. Yep. And Justin is a likable guy. If I ever say if there's a guy on the European Ryder Cup team that I don't mind having him beat us, that's the kind of guy he is, because he's a wonderful guy to talk to, be around. He's very adaptable and congenial to the media, even when the bad days are coming. He's not having a bad time. And when he started the day at 7-under, he finished at 8-under for his second round leading into Saturday. So he's doing very well. And he had a record that is pretty unique. He beat Jack Nicklaus by having five leading rounds of the Masters and eight total in his career. No one's ever done that, especially a person who's never won a major. Never won the Masters, I'm trying to say. So he knows that golf course very well. And he's contended so many wins over the years. And how about that Bryson DeChambeau story? A man that hit 369 practice shots before the first round would have worn out anybody, even an Iron Byron machine. He's out there, and he came in for Saturday for the third round. He's 7-under. So he's going to be a factor. He obviously comes off his great heritage last year of winning the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. And we got to go. We talk about Rory Bray. He had a dismal finish last in his first round with two double bogeys. Well, he came back in the second round with a 66. So he's back in contention. That's good to see. And obviously he's being chased with others. And there's Corey Connors and Tyrell Hatton. So it's going to be an amazing Saturday and Sunday, I think.
You know, Bob, you hit on a couple of things, and I always break everything up into two parts. One are the color stories, where there's color and interest and fun at any tournament, especially the majors, now that we are officially in championship season, beginning with this Masters this week. And then I also go to the hard golf talk. You know, the scores, the leaderboard, the shots, the things that happen, just like with Rory on Thursday, a double bogey there at 15, another one at 17, a terrible chip shot that should have never happened at 15, rolling past the pin, down the back of the green, back down into the water. that's the hard golf talk. There are so many color stories, and there's more opening, you know, all the time. But you've hit on so many of them already, especially the hard golf talk. Look at what Rory has done. And when I say Rory, I mean he has roared back from that even par 72 Thursday to the 66 Friday. And he's back in contention, 6 under par. Justin shoots another 1 under at 8 under. And Bryson is right there at seven. But look, what I'm interested in is the coverage. I'm always, you know, Bob, you know me. I'm always interested in how they cover this. And when I say they, the golf analysts, the broadcasters, the Golf Channel, whatever, my great buddy, you know, Brandel Chambly, whom I've known for many years, been on my television show. One of my favorites, Paul McGinley of all time. But how do they cover it? All of them, the golf journalist. And it seems like nobody has really given the respect. Yes, they've been nice. Yes, they've said, well, okay. Yes, he was almost there a few times. Yes, this. But nobody seems to believe, in my opinion, no one seems to believe that he is going to be able to sustain this kind of play, and that everybody is going after, of course, Scottie Scheffler. Now, we'll see how he finishes up. We'll see where he comes in as we go forward. But, you know, Bob, I think Justin Rose deserves a lot more. And then, of course, we could talk about Bryson. They said the other day that he was going to have a cot out on the driving range because he was practicing until all hours of the night after his round. And they were not sure what would happen with Rory. Let's go to Justin first. Is he getting the kind of respect he should get, in your opinion?
Maybe not from the American broadcast, but I guarantee you he is in the UK. And he is probably going to be the next Ryder Cup captain for Europe and right in the right spot. He's 44 years old right now, still playing very well. Obviously, the very first Olympic champion that we've had in the modern century from Rio. I just think whenever he feels comfortable on the greens, he's a factor. And I know that doesn't translate into major championships, but I believe that he's got all the respect of his peers. I think he's a wonderful, he reacts so well with the fans on both sides of the ocean. And maybe they may think he'll never hold it together, but let's see what he pulls apart on Saturday, you know, and see how he does. I kind of feel he's still going to be in the mix. And I can't speak for Brandel or all those other commentators may just say, oh, it's nice to have him up there, but he's never going to hold it. Well, sometimes we see those things have changed. We saw what happened in hockey with Ovechkin catching Gretzky. We never thought that was going to happen, did we?
And we knew it would happen recently. We did not. No.
Yes, and you really have to be in a special universe to pull that off. But back to Justin, he is a efficient shot maker. He is a tidy golfer. I say that because he doesn't have a lot of mistakes, and he's just right there, and he's a wonderful match play player. So, like I said, if I wish he could just switch his allegiances and put on American flag, and it'd be wonderful to have him in Bethpage.
Absolutely. All right, another color story this week has been Fred Couples. I mean, here we go. You tell me. Fred Couples is one of these great, great players over the years, Masters champion. They love him. Made the cut as the oldest player in history, what, a couple years ago? I'm sure you have a nugget or two there. But when you look at Fred Couples and what he's doing this week, let's talk about that color story for a moment, too. He's got his cool. Everybody said Fred Couples is cool. And we look back at, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago when people talked about being cool. Let's talk about Fred Couples. Is he cool?
I think he was born cool. And I think he was a natural when that the great brand friend of yours, Ashworth, came out. And
yes,
it looked like he just fit in it like a glove. And it's sad to think that the back problems have really taken a part of his career, because when he swings a golf club, it doesn't look like it's effortless. And it's amazing. He doesn't use a golf glove, you know, and he's the pride and joy of the University of Houston, obviously. And I've always loved watching the guy, and he just saunters. He saunters. And if he has a good week when the back isn't bothering him, you know, he's a factor when it comes to making a cut, obviously, or in his own universe of the PGA Tour champions.
Well, he's now become famous over the years for not only his cool, but he is back with one of the greatest apparel companies in history, and that is Ashworth Golf. I'm an ambassador for Ashworth Golf Apparel as well, and everybody needs to go to ashworth-golf.com. And if you do that, you're going to see not only Fred Couples, you're going to find out about the Ashworth Golf Company, established in 1987. And yes, the golf man is back. I'm wearing Ashworth Golf. Fred Couples is wearing Ashworth Golf. And Bob, I have to tell you that this is so appropriate, not only because Ashworth-golf.com is so cool, but because Fred Couples and I share the same birthday, October 3rd. So why wouldn't we be ambassadors? You look at Fred Couples, you look at his age, you look at this beautiful Ashworth Golf apparel, and then you look at his game. But now he's become famous for another thing, and that is that darn hybrid that he loves to play, and he holed it out the other day. Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
Well, it was on the 14th, I think it was, and he just for some reason, Fred probably knows the locations of on most of the greens by the back of his hand where he should hit a shot. And just a beautiful hybrid shot that came in and caught the ridge and came in and curved its way into the hole. So it was fun to watch on television and see that. Boom Boom is, you know, like he'll pull off so many fun things sometimes. It's amazing. And as Ray, your birthday and Freddie's birthday are also the same date that my parents were married. So that October 3 is important.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, good for you. Thank you so much for letting me know about that. Okay, let's get moving here. Another color story, and it's a big one. It may be the biggest color story of the Masters this year. And I say maybe. I believe that it is. Tour Edge Golf at touredge.com has to be so happy, so excited, so proud of Bernard Langer. This is his farewell to the Masters. It's been a long time coming. It was going to be last year, but he injured himself. And here it is this year. Bernard Langer has been on my television show at least a couple times. And we spoke about his golf, his life. We spoke about the putter, the anchoring of the putter. We spoke about his Christian faith, both the first time when he won the Masters where it was not there, and then after he became a Christian person, his faith at the second Masters win. We'll mention that in a minute again. But what about this big color story of Bernard Langer and his farewell to the Masters this week?
He is, I don't know how to describe it. He's like the most fit golfer of all time, other than maybe Gary Player. But his ability to extend his talent is gone beyond generations. It's amazing. Obviously, when Gary was competing in his 60s and 70s, he wasn't at this level. And Bernhard is just a fitness. It's part of his makeup and his DNA. He wins the Masters in 85 and 93, and as we all know. But what he accomplished when he after he turns 50 and goes on to the PGA Tour champions, that sets up its own life, you know, and winning majors on the PGA Tour champions, and his 47 wins on that tour sets himself apart. I've watched him play in Boca Raton, Ray, over the winters and in events down here, and he just keeps moving forward. And any little thing, he just shrugs it off. If there's any bad shot, you don't notice it. He doesn't give you that indication that it's a bad shot or a good shot. He's just a steady, steady man. And I was impressed by his athleticism, but I also impressed by his mental ability. And that really is an important thing about it. And he may go down in history as probably one of the greatest mental and physical combinations when you think about it. I'm talking about the duration of a person. And if he can still walk, who knows? He might be playing another 5 years.
Well, look what he's done on the Champions Tour. He now is the all-time greatest winner, the most victories. You know, today he shoots a 73. It's not what he wanted to do. He's 3 over par. And it looks like he will likely not make the cut in his final Masters. He won't. Fred Couples is, you know, we're going to find out, but that cut's not going to happen either. Sergio Garcia, Mike Weir, Brooks Koepka, not having any kind of a Masters that Brooks Koepka wants. And let me bring it, and my buddy Sepp Straka shoots 78, 71. That was not what he was expecting at all. The Højgaard twins, and I'm sure you have something about them being the twins at the Masters. But you look at all of this, Dr. Bob, I'm shocked that Will Zalatoris didn't play better. 8 over par, Thomas Dietrich 9. Angel Cabrera, there's a big flap going on with Angel that a lot of people think that he should not have been allowed to play. Another color story, not allowed to play in the Masters because there he is, having to serve some prison time. And people feel that, you know, he shouldn't be at the Masters, should not be allowed to be there because of what he did or what he admitted to or the time that he served. Then there's a whole nother group that feel that, hey, whatever he did, he served his time. He's a Masters champion. He should be there. He served his time. Leave him alone. There's another color story. But, you know, let's get back, you know, to where we were with Langer. I mean, he's got to be simply the most sustainable player in history next to Gary Player, mm-hmm. who, by the way, was a starter with Jack Nicklaus, who's 85, Tom Watson, who I believe he's 75, and Gary Player, 89 years old. And look at how great he looks. Mm-hmm. And they were all there. Comment on that, Bob.
I've never had a day when I wasn't amazed watching Gary Player. And I say that because I first watched him at the PGA National Health Club here in Palm Beach Gardens. And he was doing finger push-ups when you lie prone and forward. There's very few athletes in the world that can do that easily other than professional gymnasts. And he's a guy that does amazing warm-ups. And he's just like a piece of iron that it bends so well. I've been so impressed by his longevity. A guy of his stature physically who wins the Grand Slam. And he's just been a wonderful ambassador for the sport. Tom Watson was another favorite of mine coming from the Midwest. I'm from Iowa. Yep. He was from Kansas City. And yep. I always watched his swing and the way he attacked and went challenged Jack Nicklaus in the Open Championship. And Tom really set his own signature in Scotland. People loved him over there. So it's a great threesome. The original starters for that were Fred McLeod and Jock Hutchison, and both Scottish members of who did their part in their careers a generation before the Masters really picked up steam. They started in 1965, I think, as starters, and Clifford Roberts let them come in and do that. And then it all evolves up now to Jack, Gary, and Tom.
You know, if Tour Edge golf clubs, which, of course, Langer plays, I don't know how they could be more proud. I don't know how they could be more excited. And of course, obviously, the attention that Tourage so wonderfully needs and wants. I'm a Tourage person. They've been a sponsor of this show for so many years. They look at Bernard Langer and their staff, their team, their clubs, their technology, the general public that buys Tourage, and they have such a wonderful thing happening. So glad to be a part of that. So proud and grateful that Tourage is a sponsor of this show. Everybody, you want to go to touredge.com. And Bernard Langer told me on my television show, Bob, he said, I cursed the Lord's name when I first won the Masters, and then I blessed the Lord's name when I won my second Masters, because in the middle, he had become a person of faith. He had found God in a very special way, and he's very outspoken. He's very wonderful about his faith, not pushing it on anybody, but he's very outspoken about it. And when you listen to him talk about it, you're moved. Bernard Langer moves you and causes you to, you know, evaluate your faith and look at where you are with your relationship to a higher being. Before, when he won the Masters, no. When he won the second time, yes. You know, what do you make of that? Because so many players on the tour, on all tours, have relationships, spiritual, personal, faith, that they are very open to talk about. I mean, and I can go on and on and on over the years, 15 years on my television show of both the men and the women on the various tours that talk about their faith out loud and very open about it. Is that part of the tours? Is that part of golf? We do hear it on football. People will put their hand in the air or take a knee and thank God. And we hear it on, well, all the sports. So golf is really no different, is it, Bob?
No, and I think back to the story of Payne Stewart when he turned his life around and he brought that his faith to the forefront and learned to adapt and change which he admitted for the better, which made him more of a open and transparent person at that time. I think about that, but I think about the way these folks on the men's and women's tour, it's a lonely life for a lot of them. And it's good that they find something for stability. And if it's faith, all the better to them. But I think a lot comes from just the fact that they're out there and have to look for things and anchors in their lives, right?
Absolutely. All right, back to another color story for the Masters, Angel Cabrera. Everybody says yes. The other everybody says no. Should Angel Cabrera be at the Masters?
In my mind, he paid his debt to society. And if the legal side gives him the clear to be back to becoming a citizen in free society, then it's up to the world of golf saying, have you broken any rules in golf that or not? And if you haven't, then you've played by the rules and you've paid your debt. And there's been other individuals, Ray, that I'm not going to mention in this program that have paid their debts to society through other situations like tax evasion and so forth, and they've come back and played professionally. So I do believe there's different ways to look at it. Obviously, there's one way to define what you pay your debt to society, and in this case, the Masters and their board agreed that the invitation should go out.
Well, and when the Masters committee sends out the invitation, it's over. They looked at everything. They reviewed everything. Angel mm-hmm. Cabrera, who just won on the Champions Tour, is back at the Masters. And I think he should be there. Like you said, he paid his debt to society. There are others that have had, if not as much, different or worse, whatever it is, and they are playing golf and even at the Masters. So I think he should be there. And if you want to write to me, folks, golfadams@msn.com, golfadams@msn.com. Hey, let me know. What do you think? Should Angel Cabrera be at the Masters? You've heard our opinion. Let me know your opinion. And if you have any questions about what we're doing or what where we are as we stream on golfnewsnet.com, you let me know. And if you have some upcoming guests that you'd like me to bring in, you can't believe some of the guests that are coming on. And if you have any questions, if you have any comments, golfadams@msn.com. Well, you've been writing to me for 25 years, so keep doing that. Thomas Dietrich didn't have a very good golf tournament, did he? Will Zalatoris, Lucas Gulver, Cameron Young. I mean, we're looking at it. Jose Maria Olazabal, 7 over par. You know, Jose Maria Olazabal is part of this, what they call the Spanish Armada. Bob, go over that with us. When you talk about golf's Spanish Armada, what are we talking about?
Well, in my experience, it goes back to Seve Ballesteros and his influence upon professional golf from both sides of the ocean. When he was with Jose Maria and his partners in the Ryder Cup, they were almost unbeatable. And I think that really set it apart. It added much more color and much more excitement to the game. Believe me, you follow Seve around a golf course, you are going to be an adventure that only Indiana Jones could join you with, probably. I just was so impressed by his ability of shot making from all levels. And then Jose Maria had a fantastic short game, which proved at the Masters. And, you know, and I just think that he's his own remarkable story for recovering from foot injuries and chronic problems in his feet where he couldn't even walk. And he comes back and plays so well and captained that amazing comeback at Medina for the Ryder Cup.
Mm-hmm. So who are all of the members of the Spanish Armada? Beginning with Seve, who else?
Well, I think you could add Miguel Jimenez, is a part of that. I think Sergio Garcia has to be in there. Antonio Garrido, Manuel Pinero, I think. That's really the ones of that earlier 70s and 80s group, I think, Ray, more so than those of the modern or last 10, 15, 20 years.
You know, when I think the modern era of the Armada, you're looking at Seve, Olazabal, Sergio, and Rahm. What about that?
Yes, and Rahm joined it and did so very, very well. He deserved to be in there. But they brought so much attention to the game of golf in Spain. And Spain isn't known especially for golf, but it became known because of Jaime Patino when he built Valderrama, and they had that wonderful Ryder Cup in 1997, which I attended. And I just think they made that country show that there's far more interest in that sport for a country that's done so well in soccer and other sports. But I just really believe that Seve ignited it so well in European golf, and all those other players we mentioned have just carried it through.
And what about the passion of our Ryder Cup captain, Keegan Bradley? What about that? How about Keegan?
Keegan is has always been a favorite for me for the match play aspect of it, and I say that because I watched him up close in Medina, and you know I really felt badly that the U.S. couldn't turn it around at that time because they they deserved it. But people like Justin Rose at the end beating Phil Mickelson, I think that it just completely flip-flopped. And Rory being late to the tee and helping them win a singles match, you'll never forget those moments like that. Keegan is a firebrand. He's obviously a New England sports fanatic, and he's bringing a different type of passion to the Ryder Cup at Bethpage. I know it was a unique and unusual pick for many to see him get the Ryder Cup captaincy, but I think he'll do fine. I really question, though, Ray, and I've said this on this program many times, the U.S. depth is so important for this because Europe can pull someone from anywhere and they'll put the lights out. And you never think they will, but they will completely dominate in that short game.
Absolutely, they will. All right. So the passion of Keegan Bradley to the controversy of Angel Cabrera to the Spanish Armada to Bernard Langer, the great, certainly one of the greatest, if not the greatest, sustainable golfers in history, along with Gary Player. Of course, we're talking about Tour Edge Golf. We're talking about Ashworth Golf. We're talking about, you know, Fred Couples. These are all such color stories of going on. But there's another one that's a little bit weird. It's one that we haven't heard about. And that is the amateur Jose Ballester had to go. And he was playing with, I believe, Justin Thomas and Scottie Scheffler the other day. And he forgot that there were restrooms near the 13th. And so he just found a place on a tributary. You tell the story, Bob. You know it better. And what did he do?
He took the nearest point of relief. I guess that's one way to look at it.
And, he took the nearest point of relief, but what happened with the Masters? Did the Masters committee, did they go crazy?
Well, if they did, it wasn't in front of the camera. But I do know that he didn't know that there was a restroom nearest the 13th tee, but he found a little area and a tributary leading for Rays Creek. And forever he may ever be associated with this moment, because it's probably the only moment that has probably been advertised like this or because of social media and other things that we're going to hear about this and from on until he establishes himself in golf as a professional elsewhere. But he was playing with Justin Thomas and Scottie Scheffler, and it was at the 12th where he had to run off and find his nearest point of relief. And he said that he could hear the clapping of the crowd after he was finished. He's an Arizona State senior. and he wore the school's nickname, the Sun Devils, spelled upside down and backward. Which
why would he do that?
I have no idea. It's just for a little element of joy or something to be different. I don't
all
know.
Right.
But it's not the first time athletes have had to run away and find where Mother Nature calls, Ray. It's just that this happened in a Masters on the pristine grounds where, you follow all the special rules, et cetera. And it's patrons. We don't say back nine. We say second nine. There's no cell phones. There's no leaderboards walking up with the players behind them. And you have $1.50 pimento sandwiches, which was still amazing that we can hold those prices in today's world.
Well, so, and the egg salad sandwiches, too, I hear, are unbelievable.
Yeah, they're very good. I just wonder if there's more flavor in a pimento and cheese than there is in some of the interviews I've heard with Scottie and others, because those are more nothing burgers compared to some of the other interviews I've heard.
Very bland, very, very bland. Let's turn our attention to another little bit of color and one of the great champions at the Masters, and that's Sir Nick Faldo, who has been on my television and radio shows over the years, squares golf shoes. at squairz.com, Squares, longtime sponsor of this show. So proud of them and so excited to be a part of what Squares are doing. Bob Winskowitz and, you know, the distance shoe, the comfort shoe, everything about Squares golf shoes and their technology to make everybody a better player and have more comfort and distance as they play. Squares and their ambassador, Sir Nick Faldo, have come up with a launch. There's a limited edition of the golf shoe to celebrate the iconic dual major season. And this has just happened yesterday. You know, they've engineered the most advanced golf footwear, Bob, and they are pre-selling now the NF1990 MO, a premium collector's edition golf shoe, personally designed by Sir Nick Faldo to commemorate one of the most historic seasons in the sport's history. Here's why. In 1990, Sir Nick Faldo achieved what only a handful of golfers ever have. He won both the Masters and the Open Championship in the same year. To honor the 35th anniversary of that legendary feat, Sir Nick partnered with Squares to design a shoe that captures the legacy, style, and the personal pride he has of that unforgettable season. Now, they only have made 1,000 pair of these limited edition shoes. They're hand signed by Sir Nick Faldo, and you're making them a piece of golf history. Premium full grain leather, only 1,000 pair, hand signed photo of Sir Nick, lightweight, patented roomier toe box, dual density compression footbed, over 290 traction points, backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. You've got to get to S-Q-A-I-R-Z, squares.com. And you got to get yourself a pair of these commemorative historic shoes. What about that, Bob? And what about Sir Nick?
Well, Sir Nick was probably one of the greatest ball strikers of my lifetime, and I watched him get a hole in one live at in the Ryder Cup in 1993, and he's just an amazing technician, and I was always impressed by his drive, and you know, I just felt that he could accomplish so many different things if he wanted him to. It's just a matter, and it didn't matter the weather. It didn't matter the thing. That's the kind of player he was. When Europe won at Oak Hill, I recall in 1995, I was in the media center, and Sir Nick wasn't Sir Nick at that time. And I came and I said, that it's just a special moment for golf, Sir Nick. And he says, special moment for Europe. That's what he told me. And they had it was a great comeback, and Bernard Gallagher obviously was the captain at the time at Oak Hill. And that was another heartbreak. Lanny Watkins was the captain for the United States, and I just, you know, I couldn't will them to victory in those days.
Yeah, well, and we're still there. Let's see what we do with the Ryder Cup coming up at Bethpage Black. This is happening on Long Island in New York. In September, I'll be there. We'll be covering it. It's going to be an amazing event, and we're going to talk a lot more about that with our captain, Keegan Bradley. We're looking to have him on the show, as well the other players that are qualifying, the captain's picks. And then on the European side, Bob, we might as well mention it. There's a lot of buzz at the Masters this week about the European side of what's coming up for the Ryder Cup. What are we looking like on that, do you say?
You keep saying that my guy is Ludvig Åberg.
He's your guy.
He's my guy. I love his consistency. I like the fact his pace of play is never a question. He just steps up and hits it. People like him. He's a likable guy. I'm sure Luke Donald's in his radar of a key man he can add. And, you know, I just, I'm looking also at some LIV Golf people that probably can step in, like Tyrrell Hatton, and they can make a dent, you know. And he tied for ninth in the Masters last year. And Hatton is a very, very solid ball striker. And he's got 6 top tens and 38 majors. And he was 3-0-1 in the Ryder Cup that you attended, Ray, in Rome.
Mm-hmm. I was in Rome. Unbelievable going on there. And, well, we'll find out a lot more about that. We have a lot more to talk about. I'll play Paul McGinley's video that I was able to catch up with him a couple months ago at the PGA show. You can go to my YouTube site, folks, at Match Play TV and listen where Paul McGinley, or not listen, but watch where Paul McGinley gives us some, well, inside information about what's going on with the European team and the captaincy and the strategy for the upcoming Ryder Cup, as well as, of course, I'll play my interview, and it's a long one, but I'm going to play the full interview with Sir Nick Faldo, when he talks all about why they're in our head, Bob, why the European team is in our American team's heads, and about the scoring, how they're scoring and we're scoring, and why they're beating us, and for so long. And that's going to be coming up, along with some very special guests, along with a lot of great golf content. Mm-hmm. Now on our new streaming site at golfnewsnet.com. We're so happy to be here, excited, with a much larger footprint, many, many more listeners. And Bob, you've been wanting this for a long time. I gave you a gift. Tell me why you're excited about what we're doing, how we're streaming, and the bigger audience.
Well, first of all, it's the audience, Ray, and we try to bring them the best messages, and we ask the audience, what do you do with the messages? Well, you try to use it to educate, to learn more about a little bit about history, which is my favorite subject. And also just a fact about a game that continues to give and help others in communities and charity. I have a couple nuggets for you, Ray. I just want to pop in if you don't mind.
We are ready for Dr. Bob's nuggets. Absolutely are we. Go. Yep.
First off, we can't overlook the fact that we had the Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship earlier in the week.
And no, we talked earlier
about it, the Armada. Well, Spain had a little bit of its own sprinkling in there with Carla Escuder, 21-year-old. In the sixth edition, she finished 12 under par. And I don't care what tees you're playing, you finished 12 under par at Augusta National, you're playing tremendous golf. She finished one stroke ahead of a little gal by the name of Asterisk Tally. And she's 16 years old, and she's from Chowchilla, California. And she was named Asterisk by her mother, who's Greek, which means little star. So all credit to Carla and Asterisk for a great battle down the stretch. In third place was Lottie Woad from the UK, who was a champion last year. Into my nugget, Ray. Yes, Augusta National runs the Masters, and they have since 1934. Well, the sprinkling of its allied associations, such as the PGA of America, played a big part in the framework of Augusta National in the years to come. The very first club professional that Bob Jones wanted for the clubhouse and Augusta National was Ed Dudley. And Dudley was born in Brunswick, Georgia, and he served in that capacity for 27 years as a head professional. He also was the longest-serving PGA of America president for 7 years, beginning in late 1941. But the biggest contribution that Ed Dudley made, Ray, was really sort of the prelude to We Are Golf, bringing golf to government and trying to go back and forth and see how we can improve our relationship with government and make understand that it's not just all just a fun recreational sport, but it's a worthwhile occupation that does serve its purpose to help bring jobs and charitable dollars. So during World War II, Ed Dudley who is not in in service in uniform. He convinced the U.S. government to exempt golf professionals from gas rationing because they needed to continue the golf tournaments for their livelihood. Along with that, professional golf raised many dollars for wartime charities. And it was also thought that the golf fans needed a diversion from the war. So he was a man that brought attention to help bring golfers to the tour, kept the tour alive so people like Tommy Armour and others could get to those locations, bring dollars in and people through the gates at different locations. So Ed Dudley is one of our unsung heroes and a man that really saved golf during World War II.
Unbelievable. What a nugget, Bob. Thank you for digging that out of the rock and the stone. It is a gold nugget, and you do that all the time. Everybody loves it. Folks, if you want to write to me, I'm at golfadams@msn.com. Dr. Bob will know anything that you want him to look up, find out about, dig out, bring a nugget, anything like that. golfadams@msn.com. Lots more coverage to come. We are winding down here on the show, but we're going to keep going a little bit more. When you look at the leaderboard up and down the cut line, Phil Mickelson, he's out there. Jordan Spieth out there. What do you make of all these big names? Justin Thomas. What do you make of all these big names? Matt Fitzpatrick, Wyndham Clark. They're there with the cut line being what it is. You've got Brian Harman, Tommy Fleetwood, Patrick Reed, and your buddy Ludvig Åberg. Let's keep going. Hovland after his final win, J-Day, Shane Lowry. Let's get back up. Justin Rose, Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, and everybody has made a big deal out of Corey Connors out of Canada. And what a shot maker, what an iron player he is. Let's touch down there for a moment. What about Corey Connors? Give us a little background there.
Well, last year he tied for ninth in the U.S. Open. He owns two Texas Open victories on the PGA Tour, four top tens in the majors, and between 20 and 22, in those years, he finished 6th, 8th, and 10th in the Masters. So he knows the golf course very well. People in Canada know him pretty darn well. And he's always been a contender. You know, he wish he could have the Canadian Open under his belt. I know that. I just really think, Ray, that if you are a precision with your irons, and you know the where you can hit those two spots on those greens at the Masters, you will be a couple strokes ahead of the field. That's the way I look at it. People like Scotty Scheffler, I really believe he knows those. And I think Justin Rose, they know those spots so well. And they know where to miss it. And if Craig was on our show with us today, he'd probably speak about the misses at the Masters. Where can you miss it and not penalize you the most? Well, we learned, didn't we, on Thursday, that Rory found out where he can't miss it. And also those greens have been really firm, Ray, this week. That's what you notice the most right now about Augusta National.
Who wins the golf tournament? I mean, Bob, you look at it. I mean, my goodness gracious, everybody on the planet might be pulling for Rory so he can complete his career Grand Slam. But, people love Scotty Scheffler. Look at the Justin Rose story. It's all right there. But isn't it all moving toward, can Rory finally pull this off and have a career Grand Slam?
Friday was his telling point. I think he proved it to himself that he doesn't have to look upon this as a snake bit place to visit. I think he has everything going for him with his form. We like to use that word form in golf, leading into this week. And I don't think, even as great as a player he is, that Scotty is putting as well. I believe he's making, he has a good bounce back from back and forth, but for some reason, I just think it's a different look to the way things are now. Bryson DeChambeau's got the power, we know that, but he's all over the map sometimes in his scorecards. So I just look for consistency, and to me, it's between Justin, Rory, and Scotty of who is going to actually be there at the end. One of those three is going to have a moment where they can have that stretch run. And personally, I've liked the Justin Rose story the best.
I love the Justin Rose story, and I'm pulling for him. But I got to tell you, while we've been on the air doing this show, there's been numerous, and I can't count them because I'm focused on what we're talking about, but there have been numerous emails coming in that Bryson DeChambeau deserves more attention, more talk, more respect, and that there are so many people writing to me saying he is going to win. What do you make of it?
Well, I give him all the credit in the world, Ray, from what he did at Pinehurst. One of the greatest long bunker shots you're ever going to see, up and down, anytime. Yep. Anytime. But this guy has to play within the framework of Augusta. And there's so many different ways you can look at it. And yes, he had two great rounds of solid rounds coming back with 69, 68 in the last 2 days. I don't know. I obviously he has his own chip on his shoulder playing.
But what causes him? Hold on, Bob. But why can't he win? Why wouldn't he win? What does he need to do? There he is. Mm-hmm. Only one stroke. You know, what's the problem with Bryson DeChambeau?
Okay. Every day is going to be totally different at Augusta compared to what you is, but he outworks people right now. He's outworking them. And I don't know if he's going to run out of gas at the end or not, but I just spoke at the early part of the show that he had 369 practice shots up until about 10 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Okay. Like you said, he uses a cot to probably sleep at the golf course.
Well, he did it again on Thursday. He did it again on Thursday night too.
Right. I think as long as there's firmness in the golf course, he has a definite advantage. He can drive it a mile. But this is a shot maker, shot shaping golf course. And if you've been studying the Masters for years, you know how different it is when they have their pin positions on Saturday and Sunday. So it's all going to be doing. And maybe the listeners are right that Bryson is going to come through at the end and surprise us, which would be another great story. Another great story. I still look at those that have the most experience at on that golf course. And I like Justin's experience. I like Rory's experience. I like Scotty's experience.
Well, I'm sure all the commentators and I'm sure everybody is on edge about the storylines for golf that are going on. Not the color stories, but the golf storylines. From Justin to Bryson to Rory to Corey, Scottie Scheffler. This is going to be a big time weekend. What happens on Saturday today? Where do you think it goes?
Historically, it's those, when you say moving day, those within four shots of the lead make their biggest run. It sets up for a Sunday for the back nine. And I just believe that, boy, the only defense Augusta has is the greens. Who is going to be the steadiest on the greens? And it you really, really have to understand about what those putting surfaces are like. They're really almost unbelievably challenging. It's a pristine conditions, but it's just really, really unique on every one of those holes, Ray. And That is the defense of that golf course. So who is on that much putting? Who is on the best putting and strokes gains putting by the time 7 o'clock rolls around on Sunday night?
Mm-hmm. Jack Nicklaus said that golf is a game of adjustments. Another minute, what kind of adjustments do they need to make?
The weather plays a big part of it. I think you've seen benign conditions most for the part of the first 2.5 days. And I have to see what Saturday brings. I don't have my weather report in front of me, but that's a big part of this. There's swirling winds out there. And if you notice on television, a lot of the foliage is gone that you've normally have seen because of the hurricane effects that came through Georgia and lost a lot of trees. And that changes a lot to that golf course as well.
How far out are they on the leaderboard to where they cannot win? Is it 3 or 4 back historically? Is it 6 or 7 back? How far down? Can Victor Hovland win this thing at 4 under? How far down the board can Ober still win? Hideki? How far down can we go before we have a weekend of thrilling golf and somebody can come out victorious?
I'd say those that are in within 5 strokes of the lead are on moving day, which is this Saturday, is going to be the indicator within that range.
Well, that includes Colin, Patrick Reed, who are he has a green jacket, Hideki also, Ober, Sung J.M., Victor, who's on a roll, Hogard, the other twin brother, and J-Day, Shane Lowry, Matt McCarty. No one ever has heard of him. Who's Matt McCarty?
Well, he's from your favorite place, Scottsdale, Arizona, Ray.
Anyway,
at Santa Clara University, and he's a robust, crusty 27 years old. And I think we got a victory. If I'm seeing it right, he won the 2024 Black Desert Championship on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Tyrrell Hatton.
Right. Tyrrell Hatton. Yeah. You know, and look at Jason Day. Jason Day is not out of this. He is not out of this.
No, they're not. Any of them that are right there.
Right there.
Couldn't do it because you never know who's going to double bogey out. And we saw Rory make 2 double bogeys on Thursday. So this golf course is venomous and can happen. It can reach up and bite you. On the other hand, let's talk about the wind, the conditions. As we go through the weekend, we're going to have a lot of fun. Big wrap-up show on Monday. Justin Rose right there, one of our great, great, great golfers and a gentleman of the game. Biting at his heels, Bryson, Rory, Corey, and Scotty. I can't tell you how excited I am about it all. The big Mother's Day Match for a Cause 1-hour TV special is coming, Bob. And that is coming up in just a few weeks. If you're interested, you've got to be a part of that with your product, your ad, whatever you want. Write to me, golfadams@msn.com. And then the Mother's Day gift guide is coming. That's right. It's going out to nearly 250,000 of my golfer emails, 70% male, 30% female, as we continue to grow women's golf around the world. And then on the heels of it will be the Father's Day Match for a Cause 1-hour special. You can be a part of that and the Father's Day gift guide. All that is coming up. Write to me, golfadams@msn.com. We will be back on Golf News Net right here where we are. Pay special attention to my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube post on those channels at Match Play TV. And over at my LinkedIn, just go to Ray Adams. Ray Adams at LinkedIn and Match Play TV, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. I want to thank everybody so much. We've got a very special guest from the Epson Tour coming up on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Make sure that you tune in for that, because the Epson Tour is the official qualifying tour of the LPGA. Been around for 45 years, folks. The mission is to prepare the world's best young women for a successful career on the LPGA Tour. The event is coming up at the Champions Course at the Tournament Players Cup. That's where they hold the Phoenix Open on the Stadium Course. This is at the Champions Course in Scottsdale. And the military tickets, what a great policy they have. Junior 17 under, Bob, are admitted free. They've got inexpensive tickets for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, $12. All 4 days, $36. You can purchase your tickets. This is May 8th through the 11th there at the Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic, May 5th through the 11th. Coming up next month, lots more to come. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Dr. Bob, thank you. Craig is off teaching, but we will get Craig back very soon. He'll be with us on Monday, and lots more to come. Signing off right here on Great American Golf Radio on golfnewsnet.com.